10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. Nathan Liao here, and you're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program where we examine the events surrounding us through the eyes of truth and reality. If you're taking notes, our website is watchmanscry.com. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Just a few days after the 2012 election, Obama was chosen once again by the people of confusion and make-believe, and he was also chosen by the powers that be to finish his appointed mandate to lead America into the New World Order and into perdition. The New World Order, folks. And in addition to being the choice of the people, Obama has also been allowed to happen by God Almighty. And you know, folks, depending on the goggles that we place over our eyes, the focus will change as we examine the present landscape of America and the world. And on this program, we're going to explore several of these areas. We're going to do this because I'm still reeling, folks. I find myself still surprised with the results. Because I understand and I realize, and as many of you also do, that the recent decision in the presidential election is going to affect this nation. It's going to affect our lives. It's going to affect us. It's going to affect our future and the future of our kids. And it's going to affect many of the things within the borders of America, including new laws that are coming, changes in the liberties of the people, changes in religious freedom, and changes in the present tolerance toward Christianity. Those things are going to deteriorate. It's also going to affect the economy, the job outlook, the dollar, the markets. It's going to affect war and peace. Because you know, folks, Obama has his own version of war and peace. Ladies and gentlemen, on November the 6th, 2012, something very, very profound occurred here in America, and it's going to affect the future of this planet. And today I want to talk about it, and I want to say up front that this program is going to be very, very serious, very sobering, and very somber. And my friends, I want to ask this of you. As you listen to this program, please allow it to have your undivided attention. Please take notes, get a pen and paper, and get your Bible, because we're going to explore and examine some very, very serious things. And I also want to ask that you please share this program with everybody that you know. Share it with your friends, your family, with your pastor, with friends that you may have in church. And the reason that I'm saying that is because I've been seeking God over the last few days with a very heavy heart. And I've been asking him a lot of questions. And some of the questions that I have asked are, God, what just happened? Why Obama again? What does this mean? How's this going to affect us? And I even said this to God. I said, God, I thought Romney was going to win. It looked so sure. God, I don't understand. And folks, over the last few days, my heart has literally felt very, very crushed. And I'm not saying that because I believe that Romney was the rescuer or the savior. I knew Romney wasn't going to save this country. I knew that he wasn't going to stop the judgment of God. But nevertheless, on an election night, I was expecting to hear the reports of a Romney landslide. And as you know, we saw quite the opposite. And I know that Romney could not save America, but I was hoping that the judgment was going to take on a different approach through Romney. Maybe an approach that we could deal with. But as you know, it was not meant to be. And on election night, when the announcement came over the TV that they were going to call an Obama victory, I found myself sitting on the couch in shock. My heart skipped a beat, and I looked at my wife, Donna, and I threw my hands up, and I said, "Donna, how?" And she was looking at me. She couldn't believe it. Because all day long, I was following the reports from all over the country on the internet. People were chiming in. They were talking to each other on forums and on different parts of the internet. And I was hearing about record turnouts for Romney and people who are waiting 2 to 4 hours to vote for him. And I was anticipating a huge landslide. But then they announced that Obama had won. And since then, I've been thinking through my shock, through my despair, through my confusion. I've been thinking because I read about how much of the conservatives felt the same type of shock. I even saw Glenn Beck's program the next day, and he had people talking about how it made them weep when they found out that Obama had won a second term. And I heard about how Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage were sharing their shock and displeasure. And folks, it seems that many, many people who are a part of the body of Christ, many people who are a part of the GOP, many people who are family-oriented, who have family values, have found themselves just as confused as I've been. So over the last few days, I sought God, and in trying to come to an understanding, God has opened my eyes to a few things. But folks, I have to share these things because we're all facing something that is gargantuan right now. We are facing something that we knew was coming. We all knew the judgment was coming. If you're a regular listener to this program, we're on the same page. You know what's going on. But the odd thing about this whole matter is that if you're like me, I'm pretty sure that you weren't expecting it to happen like this. And I guess that's the way that God's judgment is. It never happens the way that we expect. So part of me has wondered if this election was even true and fair. You know, folks, I've wondered about that. But how does a person prove it? And if they could prove it, would they want to prove it? Because, folks, this thing that just happened to America is a huge, huge, it's a huge project with many powerful people behind it. It's a very evil project with evil people behind it, with forces beyond the realms of our physical dimension. The powers of darkness are behind this, and God is allowing this thing to happen. So the way that this thing is coming together is, well, evil is going to be evil when it conducts its plan, when it puts its plan into motion. There's always going to be foul play. There's always going to be scandal. There's always going to be conspiracy behind the scenes. So I do believe that if someone were to open the hood of the election and look inside, if someone was able to see the code, the algorithms of the computer results, the voting results, we would probably find an entirely different result and different picture. But nevertheless, this is what happened. This is what we were given. And as I talk about this election, I want to first address some things in the natural. I want to address some of the consequences in the natural. And I want to verbalize some of the thoughts I have been having about this election from the natural point of view. And then later in the program, we're going to talk about it from the spiritual point of view, because we have to have a complete perspective if we're going to understand this thing. We have to be able to see it. We have to be able to visualize it, understand it, and then we have to be able to deal with it. Because in dealing with it, then we will be able to face the consequences of it. Because ladies and gentlemen, that's really the bottom line. There are some things that every one of us are going to be facing in the coming future. We're not just going to read about them. We're not just going to hear about them happening with people that we may know or people down the street. These things are going to affect all of us. Now, while I do wonder if some foul play happened in the election, and while I wonder if election fraud took place, we are still faced with the reality that approximately half of the nation approved of and voted for Obama. So, in spite of possible election fraud, enough American citizens did choose to make America the land of Obama. And it wasn't just a small minority that did this, ladies and gentlemen. Half the country loves Obama, and half the country endorsed his policies. And where are these people? Are they on the East Coast? Are they on the West Coast, far away from you? No. Some of these people are in your city. Some of these people work where you work. And some of these people are at your church. And perhaps some of these people are also in your family. And you know, folks, it blows my mind. That's one of the other things that I just cannot wrap my mind around. Or perhaps I don't want to do it because it's so hard to accept. But nevertheless, it blows my mind that half of the United States of America wanted a continuation of the last 4 years. That's the part that mystifies me. And I want to talk about that right now. I want to share my heart about these things, because if this is indeed true, and it appears that it is, there's a lot of people out there that didn't want these policies to continue. I have to ask the question out loud. How? How can these people still want this? Why would they? Folks, we're in a depression right now. The jobs are gone. The outlook is bleak. The economy is crumbling. It's falling apart. It's melting. And on top of that, there's a gangster in the White House who's destroying America. A guy that hates what this country once stood for. A guy that hates the Constitution, and still half of the nation trusts and believes him. They believe in him. How? Well, folks, I can find no other description than to say one of the reasons of how or why is because of this. Now, if it sounds blunt, I apologize, but it appears that the dumbing down of America has finally succeeded. And now, effectively, half of this nation is populated by many people who are broken in their brain. Dysfunctional brains. Misfiring brains. People who cannot think logically. People who are not able to comprehend the consequences of what they have done. People who are lazy thinkers. Apathetic. They cannot understand and grasp the forethought of what they have done. And they do not seem to care about the future. They're addicted to pleasure and ease. And they do not value values. And here's the scary thought, folks. They populate half of America, which tells me and leads me to the conclusion that America has sunk into the mire of second and third world brain power. Now, folks, great nations are only great when the people know how to read and think and function with tenacity of a focused mind. And I know that this portion of my program does not sound spiritual, but ladies and gentlemen, I have to say the truth. Americans in the past would chew on deep thoughts of innovation. But now Americans in the present are reduced to chewing their cud. While they send text messages with bad grammar to one another on their Obama phones. Nathan, this is what voting's about. This is what democracy's about. This is what America's about. A political choice. Well, first of all, we're not in a democracy. We're in a republic. But aside from that, true, it is about political choice. A choice for a politician. But in choosing a politician, one is also choosing what the politician stands for. And over the last 4 years, Obama has revealed to us what he stands for. And one of the things that we can see that he stands for is that he's a Muslim. He does not like Christianity. He has admitted to the world that we are no longer a Christian nation. Nathan, how can you say that? Easy. Because Muslims do not like Christianity. So allow me to share a simple equation, class. If we take the variable of A equals Muslims do not like Christians or Christianity. B, Obama is a Muslim. So A plus B equals C, which concludes, class, that Obama doesn't like Christianity. And he is on record sympathizing for Islam. He is on record rebuking those who have made critiques against Islam. He is on record celebrating and acknowledging the Muslim holy days. He is on record being measured for his Islamic turban and clothing. He's on record as showing favor to the Muslim Brotherhood.
He's on record apologizing to the Muslims after they conducted terrorist attacks against us. Now, folks, really? That doesn't even compute. The Bible says, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. A terrorist attack is a terrorist attack. And the truth must be measured by confrontation. The truth must be measured by honest boundaries. The truth must be measured by exposure to the facts and reality. And Obama denies reality. He denies the facts. So folks, it's simple math. Obama has revealed himself. He's revealed that he's against capitalism. He has insulted the hardworking business owners of America, the mom and pops out there, business owners who made America great. And now Obama insults them and says, you did not build that yourself? Folks, there is no way to spin and sugarcoat the facts. Barack Hussein Obama hates America. He hates capitalism. He hates Christianity, free speech, the Constitution, and basic Judeo-Christian values that are necessary to have a blessed nation. And his campaign was not to unite America. It was to isolate and separate fundamental values from the new progressive values represented by gangsters and crackheads and druggies and potheads and pagans and dropouts and all of the other riffraff creatures that hate the truth and hate the light of God. And why is it that Obama's core voters seem to be represented by many individuals who you would not allow to babysit your children? Why is it that most transgenders and cross-dressers and man-hating lesbian feminists and village people homosexuals gravitated toward Obama? Why, folks? Is it because Premier Obama declared June of 2012 Gay, Transgender, and Lesbian Month? My friends, America has butchered over 50 million innocent babies, offered on the altar of don't tell me what to do, or in other words, Satan's altar of Baal worship. And every child murdered is another token to hell's underworld. And Obama's America not only defends abortion, they swim in it, they promote it, they're proud of it, and they will get in your face about it. They're militant to edify it. The women's right to choose is the dumbest, most idiotic, lice-covered words that a human being could think is okay to say and do. By the way, that's an incomplete statement, because it should be worded like this. A woman's right to choose to butcher, dismember, and sacrifice to Satan innocent babies on Satan's altar of Baal. Because that's what it is, folks. And the foolish ones that defend this satanic ritual aligned themselves with Obama. Nathan, what are you trying to say here? I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen. It appears to me that the infection of dark slime has spread to more and more people in America. A dark slime that pollutes and blinds a human soul and turns them into immoral vermin that lurk in the dark side of existence. And these people are openly haters of God. And they openly blaspheme and defy his laws and his ways. And with arrogance, they mock all that has to do with the holiness of God. I know that some of them may claim that they're on God's side, but their actions prove otherwise. You know, folks, several decades ago, when a person was not a Christian, for the most part, they still had a respect for God. They knew he was real. And they knew that they were out of fellowship with him. They knew that they were not living right, but today it's quite different. Half of America hates God. They hate Christianity. They hate virtue and holiness. They do not fear or care about the future. This was revealed to us during the Democratic Convention when they booed God. It's out in the open. There's no denying it. Many of them have become part of the lost generation of souls that just want pleasure, free stuff, free cell phones, free birth control, free health care, and a free t-shirt with Obama's face on it. Do I sound angry, ladies and gentlemen? Do I sound frustrated? Folks, I am frustrated. I am, because I saw on election night that half of this nation desires the ways of destruction, the ways of perdition, the ways of hell, And in so doing, I can also see that while half of America has had their souls kidnapped by Satan, the other half of the right wing is living in Pretendville. The other half, the quote-unquote megachurch conservatives, they built for themselves palatial church temples and called them mega. And they forgot about their neighbors and became a bunch of arrogant, selfish church snobs that just wanted to prosper and get rich and ignore their neighbors in need. And they became acquainted with their face in the mirror. And they became acquainted with affirming themselves with the words, "How great thou art," as they made eye contact with their own reflections. Yes, folks, I'm bothered that should the Lord tarry, in the long term, my children get to inherit this mess. My children and my grandchildren get to inherit an American land full of lawless vagabonds and mega church masqueraders. And in the short term, I'm mystified that half of America chose to follow a political ruffian like Obama. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I'm mystified about the amount of people that chose Obama even after his record is because they have no clue what they just did. They have no clue what they just signed up for. Because in Obama's second term, more dismantling of America is coming. And he's already said what he plans to do. He's going to shut down 2/3 of the coal plants. And without 2/3 of the coal plants, that means that energy prices are going to climb. They're going to skyrocket. And it means that those that are in love with Obama have no clue that their light bill is going to skyrocket. And if they thought that they were broke now, how many are going to freeze and get sick because they cannot afford their heating bill? Congratulations, non-thinkers. You just voted yourself into very cold nights in the coming 4 years. They have no clue that Obamacare is going to happen, and because of that, many businesses are going to lay off thousands and thousands and thousands of employees because they cannot afford the insurance. This is going to result in more lost jobs. It's going to result in more people out of work. Again, congrats, Obama lovers who voted for him. But of course, most of them did not bother to read the fine print, and instead, they just believed what Obama said about his new health plan. But Obamacare is going to include rationing of health care, meaning that if they decide you're too old, too frail, too sickly, then perhaps the operation that you want is not in the best interest of the people. You're too expensive. Therefore, some people are going to get their letter in the mail that says, "Sorry, your surgery does not meet our guidelines." You think it won't happen, folks? It's in the fine print. So again, Mr. and Miss Obama voter, you asked for him. Now you will get to see the real deal. And I've already had contact with individuals that are in the healthcare industry, and I have been told that hundreds of thousands of doctors are either going to be shutting their doors or they're going to leave the country because they will not be able to afford to work under the regulations of Obamacare. The waiting list for healthcare is going to grow into weeks and then into months. We're going to see mortality rates skyrocket in America. America will fall in rank on the world's list of quality health care. Because, folks, this always, always, always happens in socialist countries. But since many Obama voters did not pay attention in school or they dropped out altogether, they don't know this. Or possibly this is what they were taught in school. Socialism is good while free enterprise is bad. And it does appear that the younger generations between 18 and 29 are actually more sympathizing to Marxist ideals and communism and socialism as opposed to the generations before them. Ladies and gentlemen, the next 4 years are going to be historical, gargantuan, with huge changes coming. The debt bomb is eventually going to explode. The dollar is going to fail. It's going to melt, crumble, and wither into a money that the world no longer wants or needs, meaning a worse depression is assured to occur. Greece today is America tomorrow. And by the way, Obama told us that's what he was going to bring. In 2008, he revealed to us in plain sight before the entire world that he was going to bring Greece to America. When he had his inauguration theatrics proclaimed in Broncos Stadium in Denver, you folks remember that? Way back then, he recreated the Parthenon with the Grecian columns. He had the props to make the stage look like it was Greece. And then he had an elevator that allowed him to rise up out of a hole in the floor, like he was some sort of Messiah or Savior. And right there he was showing us, Greece is in the plan. They're just a few years ahead of us. But the citizens of Greece, they don't like the changes that have come to their nation. They don't like the unemployment, the austerity measures, the lost benefits. Their country's falling apart right now, folks. And that's what's coming here. And as I summarize all of these things, I'm not making it up. I'm not faking it. I'm not using sensationalism to make it sound more theatrical. Folks, these are real numbers. This is the real situation. This is the accurate diagnosis of this country. America is melting. America is in a mess. And it's been in a mess for the last 4 years. And still half of the country voted to continue this mess. On election night, when they said Obama had won, when I was expecting a Romney win, when I threw up my hands and said, how, why, what's going on? I thought about all of these things. These things were on my mind. How? There are tens of millions of unemployed people. The real unemployment rate is over 20%. There's 47 million people on food stamps. The national debt keeps climbing in the trillions every year. Gasoline has doubled. Food has climbed in some categories doubled in the last 4 years. How? Well, folks, Goals 2000 is successful, isn't it? Dumbing down the public down to room temperature IQs, turning the public into individuals who don't care to research, who do not care to know the facts, who do not care to know the truth, and instead would rather just listen to their iPods and their earbuds and Twitter one another and Facebook one another. This nation, which has turned all of its potential brain power now into mindless, wasteful thoughts. That's where we are now. So yes, I'm disappointed, folks, because I know that with an Obama lame duck second term, he has been given carte blanche 4 years to create a lot of destruction for this land and for this country. And it's going to happen. The land is going to be destroyed. The American lifestyle that you grew up with is gone. America's done. The past memories that we had from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, from now on, that's all they will be. Memories. Just in the last 2 weeks, it appears that Obama signed another executive order, and it's called the Homeland Security Partnership Council. And it was signed on October the 26th, a few weeks ago. And what this does is unites Homeland Security and spreads the reach and the paws of Homeland Security into other federal agencies. And it expands the powers of Homeland Security effectively into every area of the U.S. government. And I have it right here in front of me. It says, let me just read a portion of it. Section 1 policy. The purpose of this order is to maximize the federal government's ability to develop local partnerships in the United States to support Homeland Security priorities. Collaboration enables the federal government and its partners to use resources more effectively, build on one another's expertise, engage in collective action, achieve shared goals, and improve performance. Partnerships will enhance the ability to address Homeland Security priorities, from responding to natural disasters to preventing terrorism, by utilizing, watch this folks, diverse perspectives, diverse skills, tools, and resources. It's also going to expand and partner up with the private sector, with non-governmental organizations, foundations, and community-based organizations. So Homeland Security basically is going to put their paws into everything, including, now watch this folks, the State Department, the Department of Treasury, Department of Defense, Department of Justice, Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, Transportation, Energy, Education, Veterans Affairs, Office and Director of National Intelligence, the EPA, the Small Business Administration, and the FBI. So basically, all the areas of the federal government
are now going to have a presence of Homeland Security, and Homeland Security will be able to use their resources. For example, the Department of Transportation covers the enforcement of public transportation, bus service nationwide. You know those buses that everyone rides in? The bus stops? Homeland Security is going to get involved with them. So they're going to become a giant spy network. And the Department of Transportation, or the DOT, in every state also covers roads and bridges and rail lines. So roads and bridges, think of that, folks. Now that they're going to partner together, let me ask this question. How can Homeland Security partner with the DOT who controls roads and bridges? Can you see that, folks? Random checkpoints examining the identifications of individuals who are no longer presumed innocent. Folks, this thing is enormous. The Department of Interior covers Forest Service, Parks and Recreation, Fish and Wildlife, which, by the way, Fish and Wildlife, what is that? Fish and Wildlife is the portion of the government where hunters obtain their annual hunting licenses. But now with Homeland Security partnering with, as an example, Fish and Wildlife, Homeland Security could ask Fish and Wildlife to allow them to see their records of all the individuals that obtained a hunting license, which means these individuals own guns. They own weapons. So with Homeland Security partnering with Fish and Wildlife, now the database of all the gun owners just grew very easily for Homeland Security. Folks, this executive order is far-reaching, which essentially, as it gets organized, makes it very easy for the United States of America to now have their own secret police force. The executive order goes on and it says that they're also going to partner with other government offices, including state, local, tribal, and territorial, which is essentially everyone. Homeland Security is going to be everywhere. The Stasi is now going to make spies out of everyone. They're going to train all the citizens to become the huge tattletale squad against one another. If you see something, say something. That's coming, folks. It also says that they're going to form a committee with representatives from all of these departments that I just mentioned. And there is nowhere in the wording that it's going to have congressional oversight to make sure that it stays within the boundaries of the Constitution. So congratulations, Obama voters. Half of the country took part in the forging of their own chains. Folks, there are things that are coming that are going to be so incredibly shocking as they start to appear. The population is going to find itself shocked, but it's going to be too late. And when it is too late, many individuals will say, how did this happen? I didn't understand. I wish I would have known. But that's kind of the way it is with deception. It doesn't reveal itself when it is advertising and merchandising its own benefits. It's not going to tell the truth. Nevertheless, it's done, folks. Persecution against Christians is coming. Persecution against freedom lovers and patriots is coming. Just the day after the election occurred, the UN Committee on Gun Control contacted the Obama administration and renewed their desire to have meetings regarding gun control to be implemented worldwide. It's called the UN General Assembly's Disarmament Committee. So the UN and the Obama administration is going to work to disarm America. At this point, the details have not been revealed. A lot of people are speculating and wondering what the limitations are going to be. Right now, we don't know. Is it going to be just one sort of firearm? Is it going to be limited to certain calibers? Is it going to be limited to clips, to magazines that hold 10 bullets or more? I don't know, but this thing's coming. Is it going to mean bye-bye Second Amendment? Well, if there is an attempt to do that, folks, how many of the God-fearing, law-abiding citizens of America are going to put up with that? As I am noticing more and more, this new world order that is coming upon the world right now, it is continuing to come in through the door in ways that were not anticipated. And as I have shared in the past, in a previous program, there are some plans to offer an exchange of guns for food in the future. And I don't know what would cause that to happen. I don't know if that would mean that a famine had arrived in America that was so severe that the exchange of guns for food would sound very appealing to people who were starving. How many of the law-abiding citizens would put up with that if guns were going to be taken away? Well, when you throw in that they're starving, and the only way that they will not starve is to turn in their guns, well, that's a different story. Is that possible? Could we really see something like that happen? I don't know, folks, but I know this. The Bible says that the beast is going to rise up. The beast is going to take over the whole world. The spirit of Babylon is going to be throughout the world. A great deception. The people are going to believe what they are given. They will drink the Kool-Aid worldwide, and they'll believe what they're shown, what they're told. They will be sympathizers for what they're told. They will defend it. They will become patriots that support it. They will love the beast and worship the beast, meaning they will love their new system of government. They will love what is proposed to them. They'll love their rescue, and they'll love their rescuers. Now, when I say they, I'm talking about those that do not know God, those that do not know Jesus, those that are unredeemed, those that are going to hell, those that have the chains of Satan over them with blindness and deception. Folks, we are at the crossroads of some terrible and incredible things. Terrible things, folks. America is going to be dismantled by Obama, and he has surrounded himself with very shrewd and crafty people. George Soros, the kingmaker, is one of Obama's counselors. And another individual, in case you have not heard, that has been said to be Obama's spine, his backbone, is a lady named Valerie Jarrett. Now, Valerie Jarrett was apparently pulling the strings in a lot of the policies that Obama is passing. And this lady, Valerie Jarrett, she was born in Iran. She's a feminist. She is for gay rights. She is for homosexual unions. And she's Obama's senior advisor. She used to be a lowly liberal attorney in Chicago until Obama became the president, and then Obama recruited her to be his senior advisor. And the reason I'm bringing her up is because a few weeks ago, she was overheard saying that after they win this election, it's going to be their turn. And let me read what she said. Quote, "After we win this election, it's our turn. Payback time. Everyone not with us is against us. And they better be ready because we don't forget. The ones who helped us will be rewarded. The ones who opposed us will get what they deserve. There is going to be hell to pay. Congress won't be a problem for us this time. No election to worry about after this is over. And we have two judges ready to go." And what she meant by that was, in Obama's coming term, he's going to have the privilege of appointing two new, or even possibly three, new Supreme Court judges to the Supreme Court. And I'm pretty sure that their choices are going to be able to easily ensure that the scales are constantly tipped to ensuring that whenever they are examining any cases, the results will be tipped toward the liberal side, toward the liberal bent, toward the area of progressiveness, toward the area of unconstitutional tyranny, of bigger government. Folks, this whole situation is developing into the perfect storm for America. Valerie Jarrett, you keep that name in mind because I have a feeling we're going to be hearing more and more about her. So with all of these things that I'm sharing right now, let's go back to election night. The only thing that we can conclude is, aside from blaming it on ignorance or lack of education or lack of wanting to know the facts, there is something that we cannot discount. And I want to talk about that now, because with what just happened, the Obama voters have lit a fuse that is eventually going to ignite a fire, or even worse, an explosion. And while I agree that election choices in the past could be rated better or worse, this time there's no simple rating for Obama. He is off the charts. He's in the territory of, are you kidding me? What were you thinking? You know, folks, how many of you found yourself saying the same thing? If you knew a friend of yours voted for Obama in this last election, how many of you actually had those same thoughts? How many of you found yourselves disappointed in them? And nothing that you could say would allow them to understand where you were coming from, because all they wanted to do was defend it, and from that point on, it was going to deteriorate into a big argument that you didn't want to happen, so you ignored it. But nevertheless, I have to say this, because I really believe this is true. If there are any Christians out there, and when I say Christians, I'm talking about someone that proclaims that they know Jesus. They proclaim they are saved by the blood of Christ. They proclaim they're born again, and they claim it. If there are any Christians out there who voted for Obama, I believe that really says a lot about them. I really do. Because it reveals that they voted based on a very narrow focus. It reveals that there was some trinket that Obama promised them that sold them out. And it reveals that that trinket had more of a glimmer for them than all of the other evil that Obama represents. And they voted for Obama based on just one thing out of the bullet points of many things that they do not like, but they chose the one thing. Now, folks, I have no other way to put this. A vote for Obama was a vote for the destruction of America, which includes the coming chains of bondage for Christians and freedom. And folks, you can get mad at me if you want, but I'm speaking the truth. And time is going to prove that these words are correct. America, may she rest in peace. Now, as I was saying a moment ago, in addition to examining the question of why and how could half of the country approve of Obama, there is something else that we cannot discount. Because when we examine what just happened with this election, and then when we look at it through the perspective of the spiritual, with spiritual goggles, folks, it wasn't just because those people aren't smart. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When we can plainly see that Obama is destroying America, and then when we see that half of the country wanted him, I have to include that there is something very, very powerful in motion to let this happen. Some huge spiritual force was in play. And as I prayed to God, I said, God, help me understand this. And folks, he helped to open my eyes. And for the remainder of this program, I'm going to share them with you. The answer of why. And I'm also going to share what's about to happen to America. I'm going to share how it's going to play out and what we need to do about it. So I'm going to talk about a lot of things. And I want to ask you to please take notes, have your Bible nearby, because we're going to look at some scriptures that are going to help us understand some of these things. So let's address first the question of why. And the answer is obvious. Over the past several years, this ministry, Watchman's Cry, has made it our focus to do our part in warning America and the world that judgment was coming upon the world. And if you're a regular listener, you have heard a lot of things. Judgment has begun. Now, I know that in the book of 2 Chronicles, there's a verse that talks about if God's people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, God will hear from heaven, heal their land. We've all heard it. If you've been a Christian long enough, you know this verse. But folks, as I have been involved in this ministry of Watchman's Cry, at my very nature, I'm a preacher. That's what I am, folks. I'm a preacher who at times gives commentary on news items, but at the very core, I am a preacher that relies on the Holy Spirit for my messages. And in order for me to obtain words from God, I have to go into my prayer closet, I have to separate myself, and I have to pray, I have to spend time on my knees, I have to spend time cleansing myself, I have to deal with my own personal matters, and then after I do that, I'm able to hear the voice of God. I'm able to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit, and I'm able to ask him, God, what do you want me to say? What do you have for the people? And over the past several years, as God has shared many things that are coming, I have not heard him say that there's going to be a reprieve. I have not heard God say that revival is going to happen and it's going to stop the judgment on America. I have not heard God say, Nathan, I want you to tell them judgment is coming, and then they're going to believe you. They're going to have revival services and solemn assemblies, and there's going to be a great restoration, and then the judgment's going to stop and the land's going to get healed. God has not said that when I have sought him. So in my spirit, I have known that judgment is going to happen, and it's going to happen until it's fulfilled. And if you're a regular listener, we have spoken about a lot of different things that are coming. I've done different programs on different categories of events that are coming. And in sharing those categories, the purpose of doing that is to warn you, to help you be aware and to bear witness with the things God has shown you on how you need to prepare and get ready to do your part, to protect your family, to get aligned with God. And as we have examined all the different elements of the judgment, we have seen that there's going to be famine and war, chaos, tyranny, money's going to fail, banks are going to fail. We're going to see drought, which has been happening for a while now. It's going to be earth changes, polluted waters. There's a lot of things we've talked about. So when this election happened, deep down in my heart, I knew that these things were still going to happen, even if Romney won. And you know, folks, God does not reveal the entire picture. He just shows glimpses. So I was hoping that Romney would win so that I would not have to deal with Obama and all the dark things that he has already revealed himself to be. I'm a normal human. I didn't want to face those things. I was hoping God was going to delay it, slow it down. But nevertheless, folks, in all the times that God has whispered things to me and when the Holy Spirit has shared some of the events coming, he never told me that it was going to slow down and stop. So that was my fault for thinking that Romney was going to do it. But aside from that, there are some very, very dire events that are part of the judgment that are coming, folks. And those things are going to happen. Very dire events. The reason they're going to happen is because America did not turn. And the pastors in America ignored the watchmen. They didn't want to listen to the voice of God's messengers, to the voice of those who were trying to warn. They didn't want to listen to the individuals that came to them after services. Perhaps they didn't want to listen to you. Perhaps God gave you some dreams. Perhaps he showed you some glimpses of things that were coming. And he told you, he bore witness in your heart that some very dark events were coming, and you went to your pastor and you tried to warn him and he didn't listen. He didn't want you sharing it either. Folks, this happened over and over throughout the country. I have received emails from many, many people who have told me that very thing. The prophetic warning, the glimpses of God's judgment, those are bad for business at these megachurches. So the pastors ignored the warning, and that's why it's not going to stop. Also, Satan got involved, and he raised up scoffers and mockers. And as God raised up messengers and watchmen, Satan raised up mockers, chaff. Folks, I've seen this. I've experienced this. Kill the messenger. Nathan, shut up. You're a fear-mongerer. All you do is talk about gloom and doom. Folks, they're out there. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the very last chapter, that God always warns his people. He raises up voices to warn his people. But for the most part, people do not listen, and they attack the messenger. Then there will be no remedy for them. No remedy, folks. So here we are. Why did Obama win the second term in such a miraculous way that defies the odds? And whatever way it ended up happening, whether it was voter fraud, doesn't matter, folks. He has an assignment, a mandate. Now, he might not even know that he's been used by forces in the invisible realm. He's being used, folks, and God is allowing him to be used. As I was seeking God, I was trying to get an understanding of how the next 4 years are going to be, and I want to share those right now, and here's what they are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, it looks like we're running out of time, and it's going to take two parts to present all of the information that needs to be presented in this episode, so please go to part two of this audio program to hear the conclusion already in progress.